Hey mama, welcome back to another episode of the Well-Nourished Mama podcast. Today's episode is going to be geared towards my pregnant mamas or soon to be pregnant mamas, but stay with me if you've ever been nauseous before, because today I'm sharing my best holistic tips for fighting morning sickness and nausea. I'm especially passionate about this topic because I used myself as a case study to see if my suspicions were true. My first pregnancy, I basically lived off of Zofran, but even though I wasn't actually throwing up all the time, I still felt disgusting and I had no appetite and I felt like I was withering away. Oh, and not to mention the guilt that I wasn't eating what my baby needed during those first few months of pregnancy. That was probably the worst part. So before I got pregnant with my second baby, I was determined to see if there were nutritional or lifestyle changes I could make ahead of time or as soon as I found out I was pregnant that would make a difference in how nauseous I was during pregnancy. Spoiler alert, there were changes that I could make that actually worked, and that's why we're having a conversation today. But also because I have conversations with moms all the time about how to just survive. Because most of the time, it feels like that's all you can do is survive. And trust me, it's a long time to feel like you're hanging on by a thread, even if it's just for the first 3 to 13 weeks. Because that's still a long time. 13 weeks is a long time, even if you're better by the end of the first trimester. So if you've been worried about this stage of pregnancy, or you're currently in the stage of pregnancy, or you know what's coming again with your next pregnancy, listen up. What I'm about to share with you is backed by science, personal experience, and a little bit of educated guessing. I do want to remind you, though, that because every woman is so different, I really can't promise anything. There is no surefire way to prevent morning sickness, and you could be doing all the right things and still feel awful. Just know that this is my effort to give you as many tools in your toolbox as possible. I also want to give a quick disclaimer that this episode isn't going to be sharing the common tips that you hear for morning sickness, like eating small frequent meals or getting out of bed slowly, although those things can help. This episode is meant to give you new ideas that you've probably never heard before or never thought to consider. So I hope you get a lot of value from today's episode. And as always, please share this episode with any mama you think would benefit from hearing what we have to say. And then please leave a 5-star rating and review if you love this podcast. The more reviews I get, the more I can grow and the more amazing guests I can bring on and the more I can continue to provide all of this amazing content to you for free. So with all of that, let's jump into today's episode all about how to manage morning sickness and nausea holistically. Hey mama, my name is Brooke, and just like you, I want to show up for my kids in the best way possible. But you and I both know that that means our cup needs to be filled first. Here on the Well-Nourished Mama podcast, we learn about all the different ways we can nourish our bodies, minds, and souls in every stage of motherhood, including pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. As a mama of 2 and certified postpartum nutritionist, I'm here to educate, empower, and inspire you as you navigate your unique motherhood journey and raise your family. Tune in each week for episodes about nutrition, exercise, wellness, lactation, marriage, and so much more, and walk away with simple but actionable tips to help you be a well-nourished mama. Imagine this, you're 3 months postpartum. Even though your baby doesn't sleep through the night, you wake up each morning energized for the day, and the afternoon slump is a thing of the past. You're able to remember important information, answer all your toddler's questions, and clearly focus on the task at hand. Your milk supply is thriving and baby is growing well with little colic or digestive issues. Besides the occasional stressor, you're able to regulate your emotions and manage the demands of mom life. And most of all, your physical symptoms from pregnancy and childbirth have healed quickly and with minimal pain or complication. Believe it or not, this can be your reality. My first postpartum experience is what society calls normal. I had night sweats for weeks, my brain fog and fatigue were overwhelming, I developed many food sensitivities, and anxiety ruled my life.
Flash forward to now, just 3 months postpartum with my second baby, I'm the total opposite. I'm physically strong, mentally clear, emotionally stable, and I can enjoy foods without restriction. The difference? How I nourished my body during labor and the first 6 weeks postpartum. If you want to truly thrive in postpartum and kick those quote normal symptoms to the curb, join the waitlist to pre-order my new postpartum recovery cookbook. Inside, you'll find a 6 week recovery plan with 48 nourishing recipes and the science behind postpartum recovery so you have all the tools you need to flourish. Head to today's show notes to get on the VIP list.
First, I want to define what morning sickness is so we're all on the same page. Morning sickness is the persistent nausea and/or vomiting pregnant women experience usually during the first trimester, but in some cases it can last through the entire pregnancy. And contrary to popular belief, it's not just in the morning, it really is just anytime, all day, every day, sporadically, whatever. There's not really a rhyme or reason to it. And the majority of women will experience morning sickness at some point during their pregnancy. I think the stat is like 70%. And it's usually one of the telltale signs that you are pregnant. For me personally, I started getting nauseous around 5 or 6 weeks, but it was like very few and far between. There were really specific triggers, and I hadn't taken a pregnancy test yet, and so I didn't know that I was pregnant. I was just like randomly nauseous. But then once I got my pregnancy test back and it was positive, I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. I'm pregnant. No wonder I've been feeling so gross. So it is one of the first telltale signs. Now, there is a specific subset of morning sickness called hyperemesis gravidarum, and only 2 out of 100 pregnant women will develop this, but it's a severe type of nausea where there is severe fluid loss and you lose at least 5% of your pre-pregnancy weight in a short period of time. If this is the case, hospital treatment is usually required and there's going to be some specific protocol that you're going to have to go through to keep you and baby safe. Now, while we don't know the exact cause of morning sickness, scientists have discovered biological correlations that might tell us more about what's going on. However, it's kind of a chicken and egg situation. We don't really know which one comes first, which causes it, which is the reaction. It's just kind of, this is how it is, and we think there's links to it. So that's why my suggestions come with a disclaimer that they might not work for you. Pregnancy is such an individual experience, even though we all experience pregnancy, and it really comes down to your physiology, your health, and your situation. Don't assume the worst, though. I'm living proof that even the simplest, smallest tweaks can make a big difference in how you feel. So let's talk about it. Side note, I just had to kill a spider before continuing on. I was like trying to read my notes and like speak into the microphone, and I look over and there's a spider crawling in front of me. So that was really fun. Okay, let's get back to morning sickness. My first tip to trying to tackle it head on, maybe get a little bit ahead of it, try and minimize it as best you can, is to start fortifying nutritionally before pregnancy. No matter how your body responds to the demands of pregnancy, I can confidently say that the best way to feel your best during pregnancy is to start nourishing yourself intentionally before, listen to this part, trying to conceive. While I could make an entire episode about this all on its own, and I probably will, I want to keep it really simple by saying that it is in your best interest not to just, quote, pull the plug and hope for the best, if you know what I mean. In other words, preparing for pregnancy isn't just about getting off of birth control, tracking your cycle, and timing your sex. You should be preparing your body for the most physically demanding thing it will ever undergo before you even start trying to instigate that process, i.e., get pregnant. Starting during the trying to conceive phase, in my opinion, is too late, but I will also say that the next best time is today. So don't come at me and be like, oh my gosh, well, now I'm like doomed forever. No. What I'm trying to get at is that the best time is before you start trying to conceive. Because if you're like me and you get pregnant first or second try, that window of preparation was literally open for like 2 weeks. that's not enough time at all to prepare your body nutritionally to handle all of the demands of pregnancy, and you will feel the repercussions of not preparing if you're not ready. Think of it this way. When you're getting ready to go to college, there's a bunch of things you have to do before you can even turn in your application, right? You have to take a standardized test. You have to have a good GPA. You might tour some college campuses. You have to write your essays. You have to cross your T's, dot your I's, and then you submit your application. In this scenario, the waiting phase after submitting your application is like the trying to conceive phase. It's what comes after all the preparation, and it's the only thing standing between you and your future alma mater, or in this case, pregnancy. All those other things that I mentioned fall into the preparation phase before trying to conceive. And I will say, there are millions of women who successfully get pregnant without adequate preparation, right? There's accidental pregnancies. There's women who just get really lucky and they get pregnant right away. And they're just like, I feel like having a baby. And then they do. And there's also tons of women that have to take a really long time, and we might not know why there are struggles with infertility, right? But for today's conversation, we're not just talking about getting pregnant. We are talking about genuinely feeling good while being pregnant and having a healthy pregnancy. And those are two very different things. So how do you prepare and fortify for pregnancy? In my research, personal experience, and conversations with medical doctors, I've discovered a link between nausea and a few key nutrients that could give us an idea of how to prepare for pregnancy to minimize nausea. Whether nausea causes the nutrient deficiency or the nutrient deficiency causes the nausea, I'm not really sure, but I've learned about a few different links from these credible resources, so let's talk about them. The first one is magnesium deficiency. Magnesium is one of the four main electrolytes, and it's responsible for over 600 enzymatic reactions in the body, including regulating your blood pressure, metabolism, nervous system, sleep cycle, and neurotransmitters. Magnesium is also essential for converting the inactive thyroid hormone T4 into the active form T3. This is important because low blood pressure, poor metabolism, poor sleep, poor stress response, and cells that don't get thyroid hormone are all precursors to nausea. In addition, an increase in progesterone naturally decreases your overall magnesium levels. And in addition to that, magnesium is one of the key building blocks for your sex hormones. Combine all of these things and you have a perfect environment to be completely depleted in magnesium, which can eventually lead to nausea. The solution? Start taking a magnesium supplement right now, no matter if you're pregnant or not. I normally don't advise blindly supplementing, but magnesium is one of the few nutrients that I can say with 99% confidence will benefit you even without testing first. I truly believe, and this is my personal educated opinion, that everybody would benefit from taking a magnesium supplement daily. Now, the trick is choosing a high quality magnesium supplement. There are 7 different types of magnesium, and they all help with slightly different things. Some help with constipation, some help with sleep, some help with muscle cramps, and so on. Instead of picking and choosing which problems you want to preemptively solve or having 3 different bottles of magnesium, I recommend getting a complete magnesium complex that has all 7 forms, as well as a good dose of vitamin B6, which is required to bring magnesium into your cells so that magnesium can be used properly. My favorite brand checks all those boxes, and I linked it in the show notes for you if you want to check it out. In addition to magnesium, we want to fortify with all the electrolytes before pregnancy. Electrolytes provide energy to your body at a cellular level, and once you get pregnant, your cells are going to go into overdrive trying to rapidly create a brand new organ and human being while still taking care of all of your needs. That's a lot of work. Not only that, but whenever someone is nauseous or throwing up frequently, they're usually given an electrolyte drink to rehydrate, right? So we're going to do that preemptively. Now, if you haven't heard me say this before, it definitely won't be the last time either. And if you've heard me say it before, I'm going to remind you. Gatorade, Powerade, and Pedialyte are not true electrolyte drinks. They are just sugar water with barely any minerals pumped full of food dyes. They will not help you, and these are not the drinks you're looking for. However, if you are recommended Pedialyte or either of those by your doctor, or maybe you have to go to the ER because you're so dehydrated, the reason they're probably giving you those drinks isn't for the electrolytes, it's for the calories. When you consume sugar water, it's like one of the easiest ways to get energy immediately, and it's really easy to stomach. And so in that case, if you're super dehydrated and you're super low on energy, those drinks are probably going to help you get your energy back temporarily, but they're not going to rehydrate you with electrolytes. So I want to make that really clear distinction. I do believe that there still is a time and place for those, quote, sports drinks. But if you are looking for a true electrolyte supplement preemptively that is going to energize your cells at a cellular level and hydrate you from the inside out, those should not be your options. I hope that makes sense. So how do you choose a high quality electrolyte? Well, you want it to have clean ingredients, high doses of each mineral, and you want it to have to be added to your water. In other words, like one of those little, you know, powder packets that you rip open, pour in your water, and then you shake it. If you want to learn more about the power of electrolytes, go back and listen to episode 5. I've linked that in the show notes. And if you want to learn which electrolyte brands I do and don't recommend and save money on the best brands, definitely check out my blog post all about electrolytes during pregnancy. That one is also linked in the show notes. One nutrient that I learned about very recently is vitamin B1, also known as thiamine. And I should probably correct that. I've known about vitamin B1 for a while. I'm talking about its relationship to nausea during pregnancy. This vitamin is crucial for glucose metabolism. In other words, you have to have thiamine in your system in order to use the energy from your food in your body. And during the first trimester, your body's demands for thiamine exponentially increase because you need so much energy to grow a human while still functioning yourself. Having insufficient levels or a true deficiency in thiamine means you can't use the energy from your food, and therefore your blood sugar and insulin levels are incredibly unstable, which can induce nausea. Vomiting also depletes any thiamine stores really, really quickly. So it's another chicken egg situation where you're not really sure if the thiamine deficiency came first or if the nausea like caused the deficiency, but either way, the cycle perpetuates. It's interesting to note that hyperemesis gravidarum patients are treated with thiamine to reduce vomiting and nausea, and almost all HG patients are low in vitamin B1 to begin with. Because of this, I recommend staying on top of your thiamine intake prior to getting pregnant because it could dramatically minimize your nausea when that finally does set on. Set on? Onset? I tried to use onset, but like in the other way. I don't know if that was a real word. Hopefully you get what I was saying. To sum up this section about preparing for pregnancy nutritionally, I'll remind you that nutrients like magnesium, sodium, potassium, and thiamine all play a role in the severity of your nausea, and that improving nutrient intake before you get pregnant has an even greater impact on pregnancy outcomes than just changing what you eat during pregnancy. And I'm going to quote Lily Nichols for a second. She is the author of the well-known nutrition book, Real Food for Pregnancy. She just released a brand new book called Real Food for Fertility. And this is an excerpt from the back of the book. Pregnancy demands an incredible amount from your body. Imagine your body as a bank account and pregnancy as a time of massive withdrawals from your nutrient reserves. To thrive during pregnancy and beyond, you must invest in your nutrient stores today. So to bring it all together one more time, it's great if when you get pregnant, you start to make positive changes to your diet and you're a lot more conscious about how you're eating. But I can guarantee you that if you take the time to prepare your body before you even start trying to get pregnant, your experience will be so dramatically better. Because that's how it was for me, and that's how I've been with a lot of my clients and a lot of the moms that I communicate with on social media.
Did you know that the current standards for prenatal vitamins are only based on the minimum requirements to avoid disease, and that pregnant women were not included in the initial research? On top of that, it's estimated that although 97% of pregnant women take a daily prenatal, 95% of pregnant women are nutritionally depleted both during and after pregnancy. Last time I checked, we deserve to thrive, not just survive during a pregnancy. That's why I choose Needed, a nutrition-based supplement complex that nourishes moms through fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum. Their prenatal vitamins have 23 essential nutrients for pregnancy that have been dosed in optimal levels and methylated for better absorption. They also provide their products in both pill and powder form, so nausea and aversions will never keep you from taking your supplements. Get 20% off your first month of Needed using the code MAMA20, that's MAMA20, at the link in the show notes.
My next recommendation for managing morning sickness and nausea is having some really easy, simple swaps up your sleeve. If you haven't been listening closely up to this point, it's time to dial in your attention because this next tip is going to be the easiest to implement, and I think it has the fastest ROI too. By simply swapping one ingredient for a better alternative, you're not only improving the nutrient density of your food, but you're also adding cups of water versus drops of water into your resiliency bucket during pregnancy. These food swaps are all swaps that I have personally made and have seen hundreds of women benefit from in their pregnancies despite their nausea. Number one, swap your water for bone broth in cooking. Everyone should make the swap right now, no matter what, but especially when you can't keep anything down. Just by using bone broth in place of water when you're cooking, you're adding amino acids, electrolytes, and collagen to your drink or meal. You can use bone broth for cooking pasta, rice, or soups, or you can just sip on it warm. I get mine in bulk from Walmart or Costco, but I also love keeping the flavored bone broths from Just Ingredients on hand because one little package of Just Ingredients bone broth is equal to, I think it's like 9 to 12 cartons of regular bone broth, which is absolutely incredible. If you want to check out that flavored bone broth, you can use my code in the show notes to shop Just Ingredients bone broth. Okay, swap number two. Swap your regular pasta for chickpea pasta. Chickpea pasta is a complex carb versus a refined carb that's packed with fiber, protein, and plant-based iron that is still really easy on your stomach, but it has much more nutrients and it will not spike your blood sugar as much as regular pasta. And honestly, for me, I can't taste the difference. The texture is a little bit different, but if you're mixing it with like butter and garlic salt or like a marinara sauce or an Alfredo sauce or whatever, you honestly can't tell the difference. It's just a better choice option pasta. My favorite brand is Bonza Pasta. This is not sponsored, but I have been using their chickpea pasta for over 2 years now. And I don't think my family has had regular pasta in a really long time, just because why go for like the less good option instead of like choosing a more nutrient dense option? And you can still have pasta, right? So chickpea pasta, super, super great swap. Swap number three, instead of Kraft mac and cheese or like name brand, low quality boxed mac and cheese, switch to Bonza mac and cheese. Just like I mentioned before, this is switching your regular pasta for chickpea pasta. And you honestly can't tell a difference in the noodles when they are smothered in a yummy sauce. So I know a lot of women that were like, oh my gosh, well, I can only stomach mac and cheese, but at least I'm getting calories. Okay, if you can only do mac and cheese while you're nauseous or throwing up, try the chickpea mac and cheese. It's amazing. They've got, I think, a few different flavors. My favorite is the white cheddar. I'm a sucker for white cheddar, but they have like traditional flavors and they've got some different ones that are kind of unique and interesting. So definitely worth a try. Swap number four, instead of white bread and low calorie butter, swap it for sourdough bread and grass-fed butter. Sourdough feeds the good bacteria in your gut, and it has a lower glycemic index than regular white bread, which is much better for your blood sugar. Grass-fed butter is also full of vitamins and minerals that you and baby need, like vitamin A, electrolytes, and vitamin K2. Pro tip here, if you can make your own sourdough at home, 100% worth it. I just started making sourdough this year, and I honestly thought it was going to be so hard and so time consuming, and it is the easiest thing on the planet. So if you like want to get into sourdough and you've heard about the benefits, or you just want better options for your family, it's totally worth like getting your own starter and making it from scratch. And it's so much fun to make your own bread. There is like such an immense amount of pride when I can like look at it and be like, I literally made this from scratch. Like I did not buy this at the store. I made it in my own house. I've made regular bread. I've made English muffins, pizza dough, pancakes, homemade tortillas, all these different super amazing things. I think we're going to be making cinnamon rolls and pretzels this weekend. I digress. I get sidetracked. Anyway, sourdough, super great option. If you can't make it from scratch at home, you can still get it from the store. And if you don't like sourdough, like if you don't like the tang, then just try and do like a really high quality multigrain bread. And there's bonus points if you get a high protein version like the Dave's Killer Bread. Swap number 5, instead of just having a plain burger where it's like the bun and the meat, try adding anything you can, like avocado, bacon, cheese, tomatoes, heck, mustard, even though it's zero calorie, I don't care. Add whatever you can stomach to your burger. Obviously, this is gonna depend if you have any food aversions, but if you can stomach more flavors on your burger, do it. At this point, we're most concerned about getting enough nutrients and calories, and I don't really care if you accomplish that with fast food. With both of my pregnancies, there was about a 4 to 6 week period where basically all I could eat was a burger and french fries. And instead of just like going to McDonald's and getting a Big Mac, I tried to get like really good burgers from like sit down restaurants or more local restaurants that did like specialty burgers. And then I would try and add whatever I could stomach at the time. And there were some times where I was getting like some fruits and veggies on there. Like I had tomatoes and avocado and some onions. And I think it was just like the fattiness from the beef and the greasiness and all of that that just like made it sit better with me. I know that's like nauseating to some people, but for me it worked. So if you can add anything to your burger, absolutely do it. Swap number 6. Instead of Cheerios, do multigrain Cheerios. This is a swap that I made for my toddler a few years ago, and he literally did not even notice. The Cheerios that I'm talking about are the purple box of multigrain Cheerios, and they have 100% of 9 of your daily vitamins and minerals, including the B vitamin complex. We talked about thiamine earlier, iron and zinc. Plus, there's a variety of grains, not just oats. So, super great option if you need something super bland. Instead of reaching for like the yellow box of Cheerios, try the purple box that says multigrain Cheerios on it. Now, I will note, if you have, or you think you have, the MTHFR gene mutation, this might not be a good choice for you because of the folic acid that's on the cereal. You're going to want the methylfolate instead. So if you think you have that gene mutation, this swap probably isn't going to do you much good. I would also say that if you can keep your prenatal down, I wouldn't make this swap because we don't want an overabundance of nutrients. So if you don't have any problems taking your pill or your prenatal gummies or your liquid multivitamin, whatever you're doing, then you probably don't need these Cheerios because we don't want to like double dip essentially and have too many vitamins and minerals circulating in your system. Swap number 7, instead of saltine crackers, switch to almond flour crackers. Not only do almond flour crackers actually like taste better, but they have some fat and fiber in them too, so your blood sugar will be much more balanced if that's the only thing that you are eating. Simple Mills is my favorite brand, and they have a few different flavors to choose from. I think they have like plain sea salt, rosemary and sea salt, farmhouse cheddar. What's the other one? I think there's another one, but they have some really yummy flavors. My toddler and I both love them. And my husband isn't super into like gluten-free stuff because he can stomach gluten, but he genuinely likes these crackers and they're gluten-free. So If you're reaching for a box of saltines, try swapping for almond flour crackers. It's the same dry, munchy cracker, but there's like more stuff to it, right? Okay, three more suggestions. Swap number 8. If you can only stomach waffles, this is oddly something that's really common with pregnant women. If you can only stomach waffles, try making protein waffles at home. I know so many women that for some reason could only eat waffles, especially if they were like the frozen waffles. So instead of opting for the pre-made frozen waffles from the store that have inflammatory oils and only carbs and a bunch of added sugar, try making your own protein waffles at home and then just keep them in the freezer and make them the same way that you would the regular waffles. I have the most amazing recipe on my site that freezes well and has tons of 5-star reviews. Not to pat myself on the back, but it's an amazing recipe. One reader said, "I'm really amazed at how great these taste given how healthy and protein-packed they are." And another reader said, "So good. I've made these 4 or 5 times now and I love how much protein they have. I also make extra to freeze and pop in the toaster for a quick and healthy breakfast." But bottom line, protein waffles are the way to go. They don't taste heavy. They don't feel dense. They don't like feel like a brick in your stomach. This waffle recipe that I'm talking about, it is fluffy and light and everything an amazing waffle should be. And one waffle has 38 grams of protein. Yeah, it's amazing. So if you want to try that recipe, I have that linked for you in the show notes. Can you tell that I'm really excited about my waffles? I tripped over my words like 5 times. Blah, 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 podcast. Yeah, I get all mumbo jumbo when I get excited. Okay, swap number 9. If all you can stomach is cereal, try swapping to an organic granola. Cereal is 100% a comfort food, and I totally acknowledge that. But most of the time, you're probably reaching for a sugar cereal that has almost no nutritional value. If you can, try swapping your sugar cereal for organic granola made with clean ingredients. This will add some fiber, fat, and extra vitamins that you desperately need during this time of nausea and vomiting. If you've never treated granola like cereal, I'm about to change your life. Basically, you pour it in the bowl just like cereal, let it soften a bit with the milk, probably like 5 minutes or so, and then you eat it, and it is way better than cereal. My favorite is Purely Elizabeth's granola because all of the ingredients are organic and they have the best flavors of granola. My favorite is the chocolate sea salt, literally out of this world. And actually, now that I think about it, they also recently launched their superfood cereals that are still made with all organic ingredients. They have a bit more protein in them. And they have some really cool ingredients that just really fortify the cereal with awesome stuff. So if you want to try that and you want to try the granola, you can use my discount code MAMA15, that's MAMA15, for 15% off your order on their website. And I will have that linked in the show notes. All right, the very last swap is your pills. If your prenatal vitamin is making your nausea or vomiting worse, try doing a powdered prenatal vitamin. I've personally never experienced this, but some people do get nauseous with medicine. And if your prenatals are making you nauseous because they're pills or they're gummies, a good swap for you is switching to powdered prenatal vitamins. I actually didn't even know this was a thing until I learned about Needed, and it has been a total game changer for so many of my mamas. Needed Supplements makes a powdered prenatal vitamin that you can add to your water, coffee, or even foods like oatmeal, smoothies, and pancakes to get your nutrients in a really, really easy way. So if you want to try this and you feel like this is going to absolutely change your life, I included the link for those as well as my discount code in the show notes. So those are the 10 swaps. These are some of my best swaps for nausea and just boosting your overall nutrition in general. But if you have any others that you've used, please DM me on Instagram or leave a comment on the show notes page on my website for this episode and let me know. I am always on the lookout for new swaps to help my mamas, and I genuinely am so curious if there's any more that I haven't thought of.
Did you know that the current standards for prenatal vitamins are only based on the minimum requirements to avoid disease, and that pregnant women were not included in the initial research? On top of that, it's estimated that although 97% of pregnant women take a daily prenatal, 95% of pregnant women are nutritionally depleted both during and after pregnancy. Last time I checked, we deserve to thrive, not just survive during a pregnancy. That's why I choose Needed, a nutrition-based supplement complex that nourishes moms through fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum. Their prenatal vitamins have 23 essential nutrients for pregnancy that have been dosed in optimal levels and methylated for better absorption. They also provide their products in both pill and powder form, so nausea and aversions will never keep you from taking your supplements. Get 20% off your first month of Needed using the code MAMA20, that's MAMA20, at the link in the show notes.
My last suggestion for alleviating morning sickness is going to go against the status quo, but I promise there's an evidence-based argument for it. Whenever you're throwing up and you can't eat much, what does your mom or doctor always suggest you eat? The brat diet. In other words, the recommendation for what to eat when you're nauseous or vomiting is basically bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast. And I got bad news. Unfortunately, mama, this is only perpetuating your nausea. Yes, these bland foods are probably the only foods that sound good, but the simple carbs from each of these foods is spiking your blood sugar dramatically, only to leave you with a blood sugar crash soon after. This vicious cycle, on top of the already lingering nausea, is only going to make your situation worse. I'm going to quote a few excerpts from the book Real Food for Pregnancy that I mentioned earlier by Lily Nichols to reiterate this concept. Sharp blood sugar fluctuations are a nausea trigger, so once you can tolerate a small amount of carbohydrates, try to follow it with a small portion of protein or fat-containing foods to stabilize your blood sugar, such as nuts, cheese, avocado, Greek yogurt, scrambled eggs, or beef jerky. Again, it's a do-your-best situation, so if you can tolerate better foods, eat better foods. If you can stomach something with protein or fat, eat the protein or fat. But if all you can eat is toast, slather on the butter for some fat and extra calories. If all you can stomach is waffles, get some nut butter on there for protein, fat, and fiber. And think back to the previous tip that I shared. Notice how almost all of my simple swaps were finding ways to boost the nutrition and blood sugar balance of carbs. This is why. So if you're a little hesitant about canceling the brat diet or how to do that, go back and listen to those 10 suggestions, swaps again, and then try to incorporate sources of protein as much as possible. Speaking of protein, Lily Nichols also suggests protein shakes, as long as the ingredients are good. If you're not sure which protein powders are safe or nutritious, I have a blog post that compares the top 30 protein powders on the market and gives you an analysis of like their price points and their ingredients and the protein to weight ratio and their availability in stores, all that good stuff. So if that's a resource that you want to look into, I will have that linked in the show notes and you can access it on my blog. Something to note is that liquids are harder for your body to digest. So if you can stomach a protein shake, try and have toast or another chewable carb source to go with it to make digestion easier, which will in turn help your nausea as well. To quote Lily one more time, protein at breakfast is especially helpful for maintaining blood sugar balance throughout the day, which can help alleviate nausea the rest of the day. Even if you can only get down a sip of a protein shake or two bites of an egg or a few almonds, it can still help in the long run. So, what have we learned from this section? The brat diet, although it has been recommended for decades and decades, actually is not helping you. And there's science to back up this claim. So if you find yourself reaching for only applesauce or only toast, try and find a way to get some protein in there. Try and find a way to boost the overall nutrition and blood sugar balance of the carb that you want to reach for so that you're not going on this blood sugar roller coaster and perpetuating your nausea. And just like Lily says, not only is it about getting protein in your body, like throughout the day, whenever you eat, but it's also about having protein for breakfast. The science behind this is that cortisol is the hormone that helps your body wake up in the morning, and you want your cortisol levels to decrease throughout the day. In order to start that cycle of having the cortisol decrease and not let your body rely on stress hormones for energy all day, you have to eat a satiating breakfast. And when you eat that satiating breakfast, it is essentially telling your body, okay, we can calm down. We don't have to be in fight or flight. We don't have to use stress hormones for energy today. We can function like a normal human being. And if you can send that signal to your body first thing in the morning, you are so much less likely to be nauseous all day long. And even if you still are, it's not going to be as bad. So bottom line, cancel the brat diet, focus on getting protein, fat, and fiber wherever you can. And honestly, if the only carbs you can handle are the really simple carbs, go back to the swap section that I talked about and listen to those suggestions again so that you can have ideas for how to make those carbs sit a little bit better in your body. Okay, we made it to the last section. To wrap up this episode, I want to quickly share a few alternative therapies that can help with nausea and morning sickness that you might not have tried. I've personally used all of these and they have helped me. The first one is red light therapy. Red light therapy uses low-level red wavelengths of light to stimulate your cells to increase energy production in the mitochondria and anti-inflammatory responses throughout the body. It also creates hormesis, and I think I'm saying that right, which is a small temporary metabolic stress that instigates an anti-inflammatory response in our cells. Hormesis creates the same physiological response as exercise. As a result, red and near-infrared light therapy can improve cellular function, boost your immune system, reduce inflammation, and improve cell regeneration, all of which are incredibly important during early pregnancy. One of the reasons scientists think we experience morning sickness is because our body is in overdrive and it's just depleted in all aspects. Using red light on certain areas of the body might help invigorate your tired cells and give them a little boost of energy to help you get through the day. If you want to try red light therapy to help with morning sickness, use it for 8 to 10 minutes on areas that impact a chain of events in your body, like your thyroid, your liver, or your pancreas. Your thyroid controls your metabolism and hormone production, your liver is in charge of detoxing hormones and toxins, and your pancreas controls your insulin response. All of these areas impact how nauseous you are, so these are the places I would start. You can buy a little red light box that stands up on a tripod of some sorts, or a wearable one like I have. I linked mine in the show notes for you. Another alternative therapy is essential oils. I kept peppermint oil at my fingertips most of my pregnancy for my headaches and runny noses, but it's also been recommended for nausea. You can put some on your temples, across your forehead, and right where your jaw meets your neck, or you can diffuse it in water with a diffuser. The other oil that I found that could help with nausea is ginger or cardamom oil. Those will need to be diffused and will probably be most useful at your bedside whenever you're resting. Similar to essential oils, the last alternative therapy is herbs. Herbs will need some more caution because pregnancy is a very unique situation, but if you're consuming herbs as a tincture, like with tea, or as a diffused solution, it's generally considered safe. The best herbal teas for nausea are ginger, chamomile, and peppermint. Try having a cup of tea first thing in the morning with some nuts or some almond flour crackers and see if that allows you to be more mobile or at least get some protein in your system. You could also have a cup of tea right before you go to bed to help you relax and sleep better, or you could diffuse those specific scents of herbs and essential oils in a diffuser like we talked about. So that's everything on my list. I hope these swaps and suggestions were helpful for you and maybe got your brain going a little bit on some natural holistic things that you can do to help you feel better during those first few weeks during pregnancy. I also want to remind you, it is not a bad thing to need medicine. I used Zofran with my first pregnancy, and I know a lot of other mamas have prescriptions written by their doctors or they need some specific medicines or protocols or IV drips or whatever to help them get through the nausea during pregnancy. And I am in no way shaming that or telling you that it's not safe or that it's not going to help you or that it's not as good as what I've suggested today, like always, I try and provide an alternative perspective that you might not hear from your traditional doctor or just that has been talked about with our moms or on social media, because I truly believe that to have the most empowered health journey and to make the best decisions for your health, you need to have all of the information and you need to have lots of options. I've said this a lot, but I think our healthcare system has gotten into a rut where we're used to seeing only one, maybe two options for things that we struggled with. And we're not really being treated like individuals. We're just kind of being treated like, oh, here's your symptom, here's the solution. And it's not taking into account what your preferences are or what your unique circumstance might be. So my effort in this episode today was to just open your eyes and give you some more options that maybe in addition to whatever you and your doctor have come up with, or maybe to keep things more budget friendly, you can feel empowered to do something on your own in your own home within your budget that will hopefully help you feel better. And like I said, I have personally used almost all of these suggestions on myself. And the difference between my first and second pregnancy, or sorry, my first and second, like first trimester experience was actually incredible. I did have nausea both pregnancies, but with these holistic and alternative therapies, I was able to get through my first trimester of my second pregnancy without any medications. And I only threw up like maybe three or four times. And it was just, it just made me feel so much better that I wasn't having to do a ton, you know, externally to help me get through. I felt really empowered that I could just make some simple changes with how I was eating, what I was eating, and being intentional with how I chose to nourish my body. So that's my soapbox for today. Thanks for listening if you made it all the way through to the end of the episode. As always, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to reach out to me. And then if you loved the episode, please give it a rating and review and then share it with someone that you know. Thanks for joining me today, Mama, and I'll see you in the next episode. And that's the end of another episode. I hope you loved today's topic as much as I did. You can find all of today's show notes and details at thewellnourishedmama.com/podcast, as well as all of my recipes and resources on the blog. If you found this episode helpful, inspirational, or motivational, please leave a 5-star rating and review so other mamas can discover the podcast too. Oh, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. As always, you're amazing, Mama. Don't forget that. I'll see you in the next episode. Love you.